On today's episode of the We Don't Know Either podcast, we show our maturity by talking about farts in the animal kingdom and balls.
Of the basket variety.
But first, a word from our sponsor. Your dreams are just a dandy loan away. Now through April 30th, take 50% off a 24-month personal loan. Rates as low as 3.64%. Apply now at visitadfcu.org/loansale for details.
Enjoy the show.
Hello, everybody, and welcome into episode number 317 of the We Don't Know Either podcast. I'm Lindsay.
I'm Michael.
I'm Tim.
Tim is back, better than ever.
Woo!
Any life updates or anything that's happening since the, you know, it was a month or whatever ago since you've been on, but anything you want to update the people?
I'm feeling good. I've been doing intermittent fasting, sleeping all the time, exercising. I'm just feeling great in the new year.
I've heard that's like the big exercise trend, intermittent fasting. I've heard about it. And I'm going to talk to you after.
Let's do it.
It's been pitched to me as well.
Oh.
I'm all for intermittent, but it's the fasting I have issues with.
Yeah, so they were like, you can't eat for a while. And I was like, ooh, that's going to be bad.
Yeah, that's problematic.
That's going to be bad for my friends, coworkers, anyone I interact with, other people on the road, poor Joey, like just anyone in my life.
Poor Joey.
We know how I am when I'm hangry.
Yep.
Which I make that very clear because then I always get fed. That's a strategy, Michael.
Hey, if it's a working strategy, stick with it.
Yeah. So, Tim, do you want to kick us off? Michael, do you want to kick us off? Do you want me to kick us off? I don't want to kick us off because my fact is very sophomoric and very juvenile and immature and will result in a lot of giggles. It's made for the 12-year-old middle school folks. So I want to save it.
If that's the case, let's definitely save it towards maybe the later when it starts coming off the rails.
Yep, this is
so. I think nice. Tim's the guest, obviously. So I think Tim kicks us off.
Kick it off.
Okay. So let's go ahead and let me ask you this question. It's about sports. I love sports. I hope you do too.
Go sports, go
sports.
We like sports, and we don't care who knows. Okay, that's an old reference, but sure. Okay.
So who is the only NBA player to have won an NBA title and an Olympic gold medal in the same year twice?
In the same year twice?
Yes.
Oh.
So it happened, and then 4 years later, it happened again.
Whoa.
So you said finals, right? NBA finals and Olympics.
Mm-hmm.
Whoa. That's a good year.
That's a hell of a question. I like that a lot.
There can be only one.
Yeah. Oh, man.
And he's done it twice.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know a lot about historical NBA people or things. So when in doubt, I always guess like Wilt Chamberlain. If it's a NBA related fact, that's my go to guess. So I'm gonna lock in Wilt because he normally is the answer to any sort of record trivia.
Okay. Taking note.
And he won a lot of stuff, right?
Wilt Chamberlain's one of the greats. So I will admit, of the big four sports
in bed. I'm sorry.
Whoa, ayo.
Of the big four sports, basketball is a little bit of a lacking knowledge base for me. That being said, I do know that it wasn't until, I think, the early 90s. I'm thinking like the Olympic Dream Team.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So mm-hmm. when they first started using pro players.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I think Wilt Chamberlain might be a little early.
Okay, yeah. He's historical.
Off the top of my head, I have three really obvious guesses.
Okay.
Oh, good. That's a good strategy, Michael. Just guess a bunch.
Yeah.
Would
you say, it's that shotgun guessing. I'm going to just shoot in that general direction and see what sticks.
Are you shooting a three-pointer? Okay. It's a workshop.
I like this.
So I'm trying to narrow it down. Anything after kind of that era where you get into the Dream Team.
Mm-hmm.
And then any teams that won, not necessarily consecutive, but were dominant over a four-year span.
Right.
So the three names that would come to me immediately are Jordan,
mm-hmm.
Kobe, and LeBron. But I don't know if Kobe played in enough Olympic games.
Oh,
I don't know.
That's a good one.
So.
Oh, what are you going to go with the MJ?
I got to put down a real guess at this point. I'm going to say LeBron.
Okay.
Oh, okay. I feel like if it was a LeBron fact, I would know about it.
That's my gut too, but like I said, this is kind of a gap in my knowledge base when it comes to sports.
This is such a widely contested thing, Michael versus LeBron, you know, like the generational gap, who's better,
sure.
And you could go on and on about the different differences and who you like and who you don't. I sometimes, if I know that somebody is very passionately in favor of one, then I'll ask them, like, oh, so I have a buddy, Lamont, and he's very, very into Michael Jordan. And he's like, Michael Jordan's so much better. LeBron sucks. So every time I see him, I'm like, who would win in a cooking show, Michael or LeBron? Who
LeBron.
Would win in a downhill? Oh, you say Michael. You
yeah,
say LeBron.
That.
Why?
Yep, go on. You
for me, it's a personality thing. I mean, part of those cooking shows, the big personalities tend to win those. LeBron has that kind of big personality. We were talking a little bit about it beforehand. He's doing Space Jam 2.
He's acting now.
He's acting.
Yeah.
Following in Michael's footsteps.
Very true.
Why would Michael be better at a cooking
Michael
show?
Will win because Michael has that personality where he will do anything to win. He's got like compulsive gambling issues. Like if you beat Michael Jordan in checkers, he won't talk to you for 2 months.
Oh, so he's like putting eggshells in his competitor thing, and like he's not nice enough to be like, oh, can I borrow the ice cream machine? And Michael Jordan's like, no!
He has to win at everything. So that's why I would put it on Michael. But LeBron in a cooking contest.
You talked me out of it, actually. I'm going to go Michael on the cooking show now, too.
He might know some French things. He's LeBron.
Maybe it depends on the show. Like, maybe LeBron is made for the Great British Bake Off, whereas Michael is better at Cake Boss or the Cutthroat Kitchen variety.
Ooh.
But you can see how
Michael would hide the ice cream machine even if he wasn't using it.
That's
like that.
Yeah.
That's Michael Jordan.
Yeah, I think that's fair. But anyway, I like to ask
Michael
questions.
If you're listening, feel free to come on.
Yeah, who would win in a downhill ski competition? Like, we get to go on and on about these random things, pinning them against each other because it's fun. But Michael, what was your answer to Tim's original question, which was, please remind us.
Only NBA player to have won an NBA title and an Olympic gold medal in the same year twice.
I'm going to go with LeBron, and I'm not even sure that Jordan's won Olympic twice is my thing also.
Okay.
I think maybe he's only won one Olympic medal, gold medal.
Okay.
So, the answer, are you ready for the answer?
I've been born ready for the answer.
Scottie Pippen.
Oh.
Scottie Pippen, yeah.
That's a great answer.
So, he was part of the 1992 Dream Team.
You were right in the 90s.
Mm-hmm. And he got the Chicago Bulls title with Jordan then. And then again in 1996, alongside of the other Dream Team members, Karl Malone, John Stockton, and Barkley. So he did it. And he wore the number 8 both times.
There you go.
Whoa, very cool. Mm-hmm. I just kind of was looking at Olympic gold medals for Team USA basketball, and we're very good.
Yes.
I can say we because I'm an American, you know. I don't like to say we when you're talking about professional sports teams because I don't participate or contribute.
Right.
But when it's America, it's fine. I say
we. We can say we in America. What I remember specifically about Olympic basketball, too, is we had those dream teams in the 90s, and then it kind of fell off.
Mm-hmm.
And then there was the time, I don't remember which Olympic it was, but LeBron was the captain, and they got bronze or something like that.
Ooh,
LeBron's James.
Yeah, exactly. It was, and he came out and was like, This is garbage. We have the best players in the world playing here. How are we coming up with bronze?
Here's your question. So here's a bonus
and then
question.
Basically, you've dominated ever since.
So the U.S. Has appeared in 18 Olympics for the men's gold medal title.
Mm-hmm.
18 Olympics. And basketball has been an Olympic medal since 1936. So how many of those 18 has the U.S. won gold? Bonus fact.
Okay, I'm going to just dive in.
Dive. Do it.
I'm going to say 16. 16.
Okay.
Yep, 16.
16?
So these are Olympics where they've already reached the gold medal game.
They won the gold medal, so they had to have reached the gold medal game.
I'm confused about the question. What are the 18
appearances in the Olympics.
I thought this was 18 Olympics and the gold medal game. Or 18 appearances in the gold medal.
No, 18 appearances total in the Olympics.
I'm so nervous. Go ahead.
You said 16.
I did. Yeah. Okay. Wait for it.
16 sounds about right. If I had to go, I'm gonna just piggyback off of Tim's answer.
You're gonna say 16 as well.
I'm gonna say 16 as well. I think Tim might be right there.
Okay.
So excited.
15 is the answer. So well done, guys. You were super, super close. I'm very, very impressed with both of you guys. Very cool.
There was this one time. Back in the day, I love how to start a sentence that way.
Back in the day.
Where they didn't win. And then later on, we know they were kicking butt after the Dream Team. And then I guess something happened at least once, maybe twice then. Maybe it happened twice where they didn't win and we thought they were going to win. Because, you know, you assume they're going to always win.
Sure.
Yeah.
So that's why I went. Because I knew that it was like, I knew they didn't win another time. But I didn't know that it was three times they didn't win. But I knew it was at least two.
I want to say the early 2000s or earlier mid 2000s mm-hmm. was when yeah. when that bronze medal one was.
Yeah. Yeah. Winning is the most fun, and I say that pretty regularly. Winning is the most fun. And my last follow-up question, because obviously the women are very dominant as well. 10 Olympic appearances. How many gold medals have they won? The U.S. women's
I'm going to go 9 out of 10.
9 out of 10. All right.
I'm going 10.
10 out of 10, all of 10. It. So they won. Oh, gosh. 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. I miscounted. So they won 8 of the 10 gold medals. They won a silver in 1976 and a bronze in 1992, but have otherwise.
Never not medaled.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So pretty impressive.
That's a good word.
Cool. Well, that is awesome. But Michael, you said that you could segue pretty easily from basketball to your fact. Is that correct?
That is not correct. I had a bonus fact that dealt with basketball.
Oh, okay. Well, we've been throwing the bonuses all around
here. We're bouncing around.
Yeah.
We're halfway through the podcast. It's just a basketball specific. So this kind of makes sense. March Madness is going on.
Open it up.
So this is just a quick one, and then I'll get into my real fact. But why did Jordan sign with Nike instead of Adidas?
Because Nike means victory. The Greek god victory, right?
Adidas didn't want to sign Jordan.
Really?
They were more focused. They're a German company. They were more focused on taller centers. So they had, like, they still produce, I think, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar sneaker.
Mm. Oh.
But they thought he was too short, which is why he went with Nike.
That's 6'6", yeah. Okay.
When the Jordan brand was sold in 2012, it was worth $2.5 billion.
Wow.
Billion.
Some executive is crying. It's just like the person in Blockbuster that didn't buy Netflix. There's those key moments where, oh, you really regret that.
Yep.
You didn't draft Michael Jordan number one overall. You know?
Exactly.
Third pick.
Adi Dassler's grandson's just weeping.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, cool. Michael, thanks for the bonus fact. Yep. Do you want to go right into your next one?
I do.
Cool. Well, you got a segue?
I don't. So, music taste. This is something I actually stumbled across and I found very, very interesting. Music taste. You know, you kind of listen to the same music over and over.
Constantly.
So there's a study out that essentially calls it a taste freeze. So it's the point where you essentially stop listening to popular music and are just kind of locked into whatever music set you are currently listening to.
Mm-hmm.
At what age does that happen?
I love this question.
This is a great question. And also, I feel like your segue could have been generationally with the Michael Jordan. Your tastes don't change for greatness of sports. I feel like there was something there.
I could have gotten there, but
do better.
That's exactly what I'm saying.
Came in with two solid facts.
I know you're right. You're right. You're right. You're great, Michael. I can say this because Nick's not here.
Yes.
Michael's great. Okay, so what age, Tim, do you stop listening to this popular music and your tastes freeze? I can't say that that's happened to me yet because I listen to pop all the time and people make fun of me for it pretty regularly.
See, you're hip though, so
I'm
you
not
keep
hip.
You keep up. I'm telling you, you're hip. Okay,
oh,
it's not
okay.
up to you. It's up to the,
all
the
right.
It's up to the outsiders.
Oh.
So I know we start to tap into like what we like when we're in our early teens, like 12-ish.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that when we go to college, we get like that extra burst of like, oh, college music. So I'm going to say like 24.
Okay.
Whoa,
interesting.
Yeah.
You think after the age of 24, you're locked into what you're going to listen to.
I think maybe mid 20s-ish. So I'm going to just go with 24 because I like that number.
Okay.
I think that's a great logical way to look at it because I think most, like, there's so much of my music that's early 2090s because it's nostalgic, right?
Of course.
Like you kind of go back, the music brings you back to the carefree times and your happy times when you're worried about every little thing and a million doctor's appointments and your back hurting for no reason.
Sure.
But I'm going to go the other way and I'm going to say that you still, when you're a little bit older, I'm going to go 38.
Okay.
I think you're still under 40. But you're still kind of in your youth and you're raising children at that point. So they're kind of into the newer stuff that you might discover that you like it. Or maybe you're not raising children. It doesn't matter. But that's kind of my logic where I'm falling in the normal progression of life.
All right.
I appreciate that.
Are we even close?
Lindsay's closer.
Oh, closer. Okay.
It is right about 33. Now, Tim's logic train was actually pretty spot on.
Oh,
sweet.
Okay.
It says here the study determined that kids of 14 or 15 generally listen to the top 40s.
Yeah.
Kind of just the whatever's on the FM radio.
Mm-hmm.
you get into your 20s and you start developing interest in different genres, maybe bands you haven't heard of before. Right about 33 is where that taste kind of stagnates, is what they say.
You're locked in.
You're kind of locked in. You're done kind of listening to the new popular or whatever's coming out. And then actually to touch on something that you just said, Lindsay, one of the things that's said on this, one of the things about this too, this study, it's based off of like streaming services like Spotify.
Oh, okay. So it looks at your account and it sees that I listen to Taylor Swift repeatedly for the last 4 years.
Sure. So
that's
it,
all
right.
My music. So,
but it also track, I think Spotify may ask for your birthday at some point.
Oh, maybe.
So it has those kind of age demographics.
I'm just crying and listening to Modest Yahoo.
There you
just
go.
On repeat.
I thought going to say Modest Mouse. I was like, that's an interesting band to cry to, but sure. No judgment.
So one of the things that it does acknowledge is the fact that people over the age of 33, maybe some of the older generations that do use Spotify, are a little bit more technology savvy.
Oh.
So since it's pulling all the data from streaming services and not record sales, for example, this actually could skew younger. And the other really interesting piece that I pulled out of this at the last of it, becoming a parent actually jumps that age earlier, about 4 years.
Really? So I was definitely wrong in that. I had said the opposite.
Right. No,
that
that's the thing.
It delays it.
It does delay it. It's this article in the Tech Times kind of breaks it down, but essentially it gets roughly about 4 years earlier if you become a parent.
Whoa. Okay.
That
so
your taste kind of locks in.
I was closer in the year, but way wrong about the logic. Yep.
Got it. Okay, so I'm already stagnant. Okay,
yeah,
cool.
you might already be there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. Do you have any Carlos Santana, by the way?
Man, cool. Michael, that was a really, really good fact.
Thank you.
I feel smarter.
Yeah.
I found that. I was like, that is awesome.
Yeah, well done, Michael. Man, Nick's here, not bringing you down.
Yeah. Okay. This is what happened when you get caffeinated, upbeat Mike.
I love it.
It's so light in here. I feel like I'm on a cloud.
There you go.
Cloud casting.
Oh, cloud casting. Okay, so we were talking about how things are upbeat and going really smoothly. And I want to talk about something that everybody does. And if it happens unexpectedly, you're pretty embarrassed. Any guesses as to what I want to talk about?
Flatulence.
Yeah, that's where I was going to go there.
That is correct.
Wow.
That's correct. I still remember, I'm going to call you out, Nathan, in the eighth grade, farting during a PSSA standardized testing, and everybody laughed and giggled. And the teacher says, There's nothing that happened. Go back to your test. And I still remember that so vividly. Poor Nathan.
That's right, Nathan. If you thought everybody forgot, they remember.
Yeah. And I know first and last names of all these middle school embarrassing things because I was at the top of the embarrassment train. Okay. So I went down this wormhole. I found out that elephants can't jump. Did you guys know that?
I did not.
No.
hang on. How was that not your interesting fact? That's got to be the secret phrase is elephants can't jump.
Elephants so good. Can't jump.
Larry Bird, the animal world.
Yeah. Elephants can't jump. They weigh 8,000 pounds, but elephants can't jump. Elephants can't jump.
The Larry Birds of the animal world?
Oh, no. That's,
she was looking for you to repeat the secret phrase.
That's all good. But the joke's
elephants
funny.
Giraffes can't jump.
I don't know
said,
if they can.
You said elephants.
Elephants can't jump.
Elephants. Okay. So sorry.
Giraffes can. But elephants are one of the few mammals that can't. They weigh 8,000 pounds. I don't know. They're something about kneecaps. Also, their bones are pointed straight down. I don't know. I didn't know how to ask it in a fact. Like it was a yes-no kind of question.
Sure.
True or false. But they can't jump, which led me to find out that sloths also can't jump, which you think about sloths and what you know about sloths. They're pretty slow-moving. But they're in trees, so you kind of figured, oh, I thought that they would kind of jump slowly from tree to tree. I was wrong in that. That led me down another wormhole of what else – can sloths can and cannot do. That wasn't very good English.
I like it.
But sloths. Mm-hmm. So I want to know, on average, this is according to the World Wildlife Foundation, how many yards on average do sloths move per day? So I'm looking in yards. On average, how far do they move per day? Keeping in mind, they sleep for 15 hours a day. Sloths now have become very popular. They're on a lot of pajama sets. And a lot of knickknacks and things around
Urban
Outfitters.
My brother loves them.
Yeah, I mean, they're adorable. I get it. They're very slow. Zootopia really was a big moment for the sloth, making people actually love the DMV again, perhaps.
Ice Age, Sid the Sloth, right?
Oh, yeah, Ice Age, too. Okay, so how many yards per day on average does a sloth move?
I've been doing a lot of numbers with, I've been using a lot of fours in my estimates, so I'm going to go with 4 yards.
4 yards? Oh, my goodness, that's like the length of this table.
I know, I know.
And I promise this does relate to farting. We will come back to the farts. We will come back to the farts, I promise. Because sloths can't fart. That's how that
how many yards? 10 yards.
10 yards? Why? These are very, very small numbers. So you're saying that a sloth in one day will get a first down?
Yes, that's exactly what I'm saying. I'm saying they. I know they sleep 15 hours a day, as Lindsay just informed me.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you're saying they go a yard in an hour, basically, because you said four. Or not an hour.
Yeah, I'm assuming, what's the average sloth? About a foot and a half?
Ooh, I don't know.
I mean, they're kind of smaller animals. They're, you know.
Yeah. There used to be a giant sloth.
Yes.
12 feet tall. But early humans hunted it, and it's now extinct, but.
Will Chamberlain of sloths.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I'm going to say about 10 yards.
Okay. Both of you are very wrong. I thought this was interesting, but apparently not that interesting. So they go 41 yards per day. So it's less than half a football field, 41 yards in those, you know, five hours that they're awake, which I thought was pretty crazy.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. You guys aren't as excited about
it. It's like a little, it's like a basketball court with like the thing that says the name of the basketball court on the baseline. Like that's how far they go a day.
Yeah, they travel about 6 to 8 feet per minute on average. And they just kind of, they're just slow and they just do their thing. They can breathe underwater for 40 minutes at a time. 40
minutes. They can hold their breath.
Yeah. Hold their breath. Okay.
That'd be super cool.
Sloths cannot breathe underwater. They got gills. To be clear. That would be very cool. But they can hold their breath underwater for 40 minutes. Yeah. Oh, this was pretty good. Okay. So anyway, other bonus facts related to farting. So sloths can't fart. Yeah.
What do they do?
I don't know. I thought if you were going to pick an animal most likely to fart a lot, it would be the sloth.
Right.
And that's me stereotyping slow, lazy animals.
It would increase their speed, though, and maybe they're not into that. Yeah. They want to keep it slow.
That's true. Manatees use it for their buoyancy.
Little forward propulsion there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, absolutely. They only poop once a week, sometimes every 3 weeks or a month. So I guess if the gas got stuck in their intestines for too long, they could literally explode.
What?
Yeah, so they don't. So I went down a train, and we're going to go, and you guys are going to tell me if the animal farts or not.
Okay.
I can do this.
Farting, by the way, is defined by, this is made up by a lot of people with PhDs and zoologists, and they have an entire Google spreadsheet that, like, verified doctors from around the world, or zoologists from around the world, verifying it. And it just is gas emitted from the opposite end of the mouth is their definition. So here we go. How about baboons?
Yes.
Okay. How about bats? That's correct.
No.
I'm going to go yes.
Why do you say no, Michael?
Coin flip. I did a heads or tails in my head.
Okay.
And you said no on the bat.
I said no on the bat.
And I say yes on the bat.
And it is correct. Bats. I should have had a...
Which is
teller.
Correct.
Yes, Tim is correct. Tim is correct. I'm sorry, I'm looking at him.
I knew their guano smells so bad. They got to get some of the other stuff out of there, too. If that's coming out, something else has got to seep out.
That's pretty good. What about camels?
Yes.
Very cool.
Yeah.
I know that one for a fact.
Mm-hmm. Yeah? Have you been farted on by a camel?
I've not been farted on by a camel, but I've ridden a camel while it's farted.
Mm. Oh, did that mess you up?
Give you more propulsion?
No.
Oh, okay.
Not too much. I think the size of the camel versus the size of the fart.
What about frogs? This is harder than you'd think, right?
I'm going to go no. And because I don't want them to have... They're underwater. They want bubbles to come up, and then like some croc sees them or some bird comes down and swoops at the bubbles.
I'm going to go yes just to try to get the tie back.
Michael, you've tied them up.
Yes.
That's true. They do... they can and do quite often, and rather pungently, they note. Frogs have weak sphincters. So, in case you wanted to know.
It's a shame we already have a secret phrase.
I know. You
somebody step on a frog? What?
Yeah. What about manatees?
Gosh, was that I say yes.
Yeah, I'd lean towards yes on
They're mammals.
One.
Yeah, absolutely. They do. And they also use it to help them sink and move in the water. So it's actually part of their movement and a very purposeful thing for the
releasing
manatees.
Releasing the air kind of gets them to sink. Okay, that's interesting.
Yeah. What? Well, I was going to say, what about parakeets? But it's listed here as a maybe. So I'm going to ask parrots. What about parrots?
Parrots.
Mm-hmm.
I think they fart and tell you about it.
I did it. Polly did it.
Yeah, there was going to be an animal that would brag about farting. It would be the parrot. Mm-hmm. I see you, parrots.
I'm going to say yeah.
Well, you're both wrong. It's no.
Okay.
So it's both no. Okay, I want to find one that's going to be a tiebreaker question. Mm-mm-mm.
I'm a Jordan. I'm a winner here. So
yep.
Yeah. Snakes.
Not like Jordan. You've lost one already.
I know.
Snakes.
I'm gonna go no on snakes.
I'm gonna go no as well.
It's a yes. So you're both wrong.
Okay.
You're both wrong. So I think that it's gonna leave a tie. I will definitely post this in the link dump along with a lot of other things about specific sloths and their intestinal system, because that's really why people are tuning into the We Don't Know Either podcast.
Oh, absolutely.
To hear about animal farts. And honestly, I might turn this into a bonus round. So be on the lookout for your weekly trivia night.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, we got our secret phrase. We talked about very immature, goofy things. We learned some things. Anything else that we need to go over today? I don't think so.
I think that's it.
We're all set. Well, we'll see you next week. Oh, did you have?
Oh my God! Can you guys please check out my stand-up comedy show every Thursday night in Summer's Restaurant in Arlington, Virginia? And please follow me on Twitter. My name's Tim Trueheart. Yay!
Yeah, give Tim all of the love that he needs.
It's good to have you back. I was bummed I missed it the last time.
I'm so happy to be here. Thank you again.
Yeah, Tim's awesome. Michael, you were great today.
I do what I can,
and I'm continuing to be average at best. So this has been the We Don't Know Either podcast. I'm Lindsay.
I'm Michael.
I'm Tim.
We don't know either.
See you.